Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. As Michael's sitting here. All right, thanks, Fats. Give him some whatever. We'll see him wherever. Listen, it's a terrible day. It's horrible. It's getting worse every day. We know what's coming. I know what's coming. I can feel it in my bones. You want to read the tea leaves. You want to do any analysis you have to do. I know what's coming. Iran has the Quran. We have the Constitution. It's freedom versus despotism. We're not going to give in to these retrograde throwbacks. They're not going to stop on their march to getting an atomic bomb and trying to wipe us off the map. There's going to be a war, and there's going to be hell to pay, and there's no way out of it. It's that simple. We are going to war with Iran. We have to go to war with Iran. And the sooner we go to war with them, the better it will be for us. Now, I'm going to tell you more about it as the days and the weeks progress. But it's going to happen. Why? Not because Bush is a warmonger, but because we have to go to war with Iran. Otherwise, we're going to be healed by the Hitler of our time. And that is not going to happen. So that's the real big story, and I'm going to talk about that. But first, I want to go from the personal before I go back to the political. Although I began with the political, I want to go to the personal. Teddy almost drowned yesterday, and I saved him. And that's an important story because these things happen, and you don't know how you're going to react when they happen, and you react, and hopefully things work out for the best. He and I went out on my boat. It's an interesting story because Friday, remember, I said he made on the floor, and it was funny. And it was funny. So yesterday I went out on the boat. Everything was fine, perfect. Didn't fall in because I keep an eye on him on the upper deck on the flybridge, and I keep a leash on him, and we talk, and I blah, blah, blah. And we get back, and I'm washing the boat, tied up to the dock. And he has a little game with me. He tries to grab the lines of the boat as I'm wrapping them around the cleats. He thinks that it's a game. He doesn't understand that it's actually that the lines are used to tie the boat up. He thinks it's a game, so he tries to bite the rope. Then he tries to bite the electric cord when I'm grabbing it to retie it, but he doesn't really bite it. He barks at it. Then the fun really begins is when I'm washing the boat, when he runs in front of the hose. He loves somehow to like have an approach avoidance conflict with the spray to get a little wet, then not wet. Then once in a while I give him a spritz to wet him. See, he was soaking wet, and it was funny. And he's a 10-pound miniature poodle. And when he's wet, he looks like a rabbit because his body is no bigger than a rabbit underneath all that hair, which he looks like a lion because I don't cut his hair. So he looks like a lion. But underneath the lion's hair, there's a rabbit. Anyway, it's a rabbit that I'm very fond of. So the rabbit's soaking wet. And then I have a set of steps coming off the boat. So I wipe him down, blah, 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 wash the boat. Boat's all dry. Steps are wet. We get off the boat. I'm in an hour later, right? An hour later, and he jumps from the boat to the steps, which is a nice trick, and he misses because his feet are wet and the steps are wet, and he goes right off the steps into the water between the boat and the dock. So there's maybe a foot between the boat and the dock. It's black water. It's brown water. It's not Caribbean water. It's Northern California. It's mucky. It's murky water. And I knew that if I didn't grab him, he'd go under the boat and he'd be dead. Because if he went under the boat, he's dead. I'd never find him under the boat. I had to throw myself into this disgusting water, but I grabbed him, and I grabbed him, and I told him it's okay, and I washed him down, and he was shaking like a leaf. I had to hold him wrapped up in a blanket. I'm soaking wet with dirty water. He's soaking wet with clean water because I washed him off before I washed me off, and that was it, and he wouldn't leave. He has not left my side for 24 hours. I go to the bathroom. He sits in the bathroom. I take a shower. He wants to go in the shower. I'm in the bed. He's in the bed. I'm up. He's up. I eat. He, you know, one of those. So we're bound together more than ever. So number two, right now, I feel like a python who ate a pig. Have you ever watched those movies when you kid of a when you were a kid of a python devouring a large animal where it lays there in agony? It bites off more than it can chew. And then it has to digest the pig or, the, let's say, a small calf. I used to watch that as a child. My dad would take me to these nature movies. They were never on TV. And it'd be like Frank Buck's Bring Him Back Alive, you know. And I liked that because he didn't kill the animals. He brought them back alive. But then in those movies, you see the python bites the pig. But the python cannot eat the pig. The python slowly ingests the pig, and his digestive juices eat the pig slow. Meanwhile, the python has to lay in a bush for 2 days with a half of the pig sticking out of his gut. That's me today with tofu. I made a mistake. I went to this Chinese joint I go to, and I figured I gave up Lipitor because it was getting me sick. I tried it for 2 weeks. It is the worst drug ever invented. I mean, Jarvis, who invented the artificial heart, God bless him, I have no idea what they're paying him. And even though I read the new study, you know what? I'll take my chances on the 6% improvement in risk of heart attack from Lipitor. They can keep it. Muscle fatigue, exhaustion, depression, you name it. I had it. So I figured, heck with it. Take your drugs and shove them. I've never used drugs. I'm not going to use them. I'm through with them. I'm going to go back to what I know. And come hella high. I mean, you know, I'll just roll with the dice. I mean, I wrote the book on this stuff. So I'm going to up my vitamin E, and I'm going to go back to more of the foods that I know do these things. So last night I go to this Chinese place. So I order one additional dish, which I know is good for this particular issue, black mushrooms with tofu and bok choy. Now, I don't happen to like tofu. I wanted the black mushrooms. So he brings out the dish, and it's $10.50. And there's four mushrooms on top of a plate of tofu. I said, hey, look, I'm not eating it. I've eaten it for 30 years. Take it back. Don't give me the white man's version, okay? I asked for the black mushrooms related, neither tofu and the bok choy, which cost nothing. The mushrooms are expensive, Johnson. Bring me back the dish with the mushrooms. So he brings me back with 12 mushrooms and less tofu, and I eat the thing. Now, I don't know whether he tainted it because I sent it back. I doubt it, but I'm paranoid when it comes to restaurants to begin with. But all night long, like pain in my guts from these mushrooms, I mean from this tofu. I hate tofu. I hate it. It's a toxin. You know, you've been sold a bill of goods. It's like global warming. All of you know, oh, tofu. You know why they ate tofu? Because they didn't have a hamburger. If they had a hamburger, they would have eaten the hamburger instead of tofu. They didn't eat tofu because they liked it. It was cheaper. That's all they could grow there was soybean. Believe me, if they had a cow and could make a hamburger, they would have eaten the hamburger for centuries. So now Western people are generally not adapted for beans. It's a very difficult product to digest, incidentally. Beans are very hard to digest. People digest beans who have been eating them for millennia, such as people who can't afford meat. They eat beans. So anyway, that's the story. So Teddy almost drowned and I saved him. Guts like a python away to cow. And Bush is moving from the left to the far left by the day. He goes from the left to the far left each day. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. When I read to you the names of the people that Bush has awarded the 2007 Medal of Freedom Award, you're going to see that what I said to you is true, that Bush is moving from the left of center to the far left of center, as evidenced not only by this Medal of Freedom, who he has given to all leftists, but by a few other things as well. It seems to me all politicians lie to us, and that Republicans lie to us even more than the Democrats. And let me tell you why I say that. The Democrats are world-class socialist devils. The Democrats are business killers, they're freedom killers, and they're upfront about it. They want to make the government bigger, and they want to take away more of your individual freedom. But they're straight up on it. The Republicans say they're not like that, but that's exactly what they are, only they do it in a sneaky way. So in a way, the Democrats are more like dogs, and the Republicans are more like cats. One is overt in their road to socialism, and the other is covert in their dragging us into socialism. And we, the people, know it, and that's why we're not interested in this election. They're all the same. That's how we see this. Look at Schwarzenegger. I was never fooled by Strudelnegger. I was never fooled by the Strudelman, not for 1 second. Now, the Strudelman, as you well know, is a diehard Democrat. His wife is a Kennedy from the Kennedy family, Maria Shriver. And every day he tries to move to the left of Barbara Boxer because he's going to run against her for the Senate position. The only way to run against her is to be more extremist liberal than she is. So where are you going to tell me you find the Republican you can believe in? You know? So those are some of the topics I want to talk about. Any of them, if they're of any interest to you. Play Blue Monday again for a minute. That's what I want to hear. I got to get this tofu out of my guts. I got to get it out of me. I'd like to kill the waiter. I swear to God, I'd like to stick it down his throat. I'd take the whole plate with the porcelain and shove it down his gullet, giving me that garbage.
Oh, Tuesday, I'm so tired, got no time.
Take your tofu and shove it with your global warming. I'll be back. It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about, I don't know what we're talking about. Teddy almost drowned. I saved him. My guts are like a python who ate a cow from tofu. And Lipitor horror stories. And also, that's the personal in a way, but I'm going to give you the political. The political is why we have to bomb Iran, and the sooner the better. The longer we wait, the more they can organize Hezbollah both abroad and in America to strike back. And they will strike us here. And that's when, of course, America and the armed America that I know is there must be called upon by this cowardly, spineless, retrograde, degenerate government. We keep hearing, oh, if we attack Iran from the air, they're going to trigger Hezbollah in America. Well, guess what? There's probably 30 million armed people in this country. And of that 30 million, many of them are trained ex-military, trained law enforcement. We could hunt them down. We could form brigades in this country. But you see, we have a government that is so afraid of the people and has such contempt for the people that the last thing they would want you to do is to be organized into militias to defend yourself the way the Constitution permits you to be organized. I don't think you understand how grave the situation is. We are threatened from a retrograde throwback Islamofascism, and make no mistake about it, it is not going away. Their Bible is the Quran. Our Bible is the U.S. Constitution. We're never going to give up our freedoms for this throwback religion. Let me be very clear. I'm not going to put my wife in a hijab, and I'm not going to put my daughter in a burqa, and I'm not getting on my all fours and praying to Mecca, and you could drop dead if you don't like it. You could shove it up your pipe. I don't want to hear any more about Islam. I don't want to hear one more word about Islam. Take your religion and shove it up your behind. I'm sick of you. Is what I'd like to say, but since I have no audience and since I don't exist, that will not be heard by anyone. My audience is not real. The 12 million people, the 22 million who voted for me on my website to go run for office are not real to Giuliani. They're not real to Romney. They're not real to McCain. So therefore, what I just said doesn't have any meaning. What matters is the nice humdrum sports and Paris Hilton's perfume and which sports star got a $90 million a day contract and which pervert just took another girl to a private island, and which jerk just got another hair transplant. You know, that's what's more important to you. But I'm telling you right now, your government is failing you. Your federal government has failed you on the border, as I've told you, since 1994. And thank God for all of the Johnny-come-latelys who joined the Borders Language Culture crowd. You're all welcome to join it. But let me tell you something else. That's the past. The present is defending yourself against the Islamo-fascist amongst us. And make no mistake about it. I don't care whether it's Bush who does it or the Democrat who might win. We're going to have to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. And the sooner we do it, the less damage there will be in this country. But make no mistake about it. If we did it today, if we did it tomorrow, there would be bombs going off in shopping malls. There'd be bombs going off, pipe bombs, IEDs going off in this country. God knows what's going to happen. And there aren't enough police to stop them. The police are bound by rules of engagement on top of it all, where they can't even operate until there's a body bag or a bomb that goes off. We need to form militias in this country. We have the right to form militias in this country for self-defense. And let me tell you something. It's the government that should be backing the formation of these militias in this country today to protect us from the Islamo-fascists amongst us. And I don't give a damn what you think about what I said. I know what needs to be done to defend this country. And I'm telling you like it is. I can see the future, and the future is very dire indeed. And it's because we have a government that is more afraid of the people of this country, the law-abiding people of this country. They hate you. They have contempt for you. They spit on you. All they do is see you as a sheep to be sheared for taxes and to vote like a moron. They don't really want you to defend yourself. They want you to turn over your power to them to defend you. And then they want to seize your guns from you. And make no mistake about it, they quicker seize your guns than they would tell you to organize a militia. W.O.R. Rich, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Okay, this is the you're using the same exact rhetoric that they used in the drum up to the war with Iraq.
Let's stop right there. We've tried diplomacy with the Hitler of Iran. They have tried diplomacy for 2 years. What world do you live in, moron?
First of all, there's no evidence that they're building any kind of nuclear weapons. The IAEA even
look. I don't give a damn if you're an agent of Iran. Get out of my country, you filthy wretch! You. Get out of my country. You're exactly like the Gestapo agents who were planted here in 1937, 38, 39. Hitler had his minions here too, said that Germany doesn't want war with America while they were planning war with America. You don't fool me for a minute. You're a paid agent of Iran. And there are thousands of you who are trained to call talk radio. And if I had my way, I would track you down. I'd have the FBI break your door in 10 minutes and pull you out by your hair. Get off my show. You want a new Michael? There, you got a new Michael who's the old Michael. There, you got the new Savage who is the old Savage. And I've told you that we're sitting in a vacuum right now. We're sitting here in the eye of the hurricane where nothing is going on. It looks as though nothing is going on. Oh, nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. No, nothing's going on. The Hitler of our time has the Quran. He believes in the monodimensionality of that book, that throwback book from the 7th century that hasn't been revised once. Your Bible has been revised several times. Jewish Bible has been revised several times. Not the Quran, though. They still live in the 7th century. Kill homosexuals. Cut the clitoris off women. Put women in dark clothing. Cut off anyone's head who doesn't agree with you. What kind of religion is this? What kind of world are you living in that you let them in here with that throwback document in their hand, which is a book of hate? Don't tell me I need re-education. They need deportation. I don't need re-education. Deportation, not re-education. You can take CAIR and throw them out of my country. I'd raise the American flag and I'd get out my trumpet if you did it. Without due process. You can take your due process and shove it.
Savage.
The Quran versus the U.S. Constitution, as far as I can see it. And you may say, well, why do you make it so clear? Well, it is that clear. The Hitler of our time, the president of Iran, is the Hitler of our time. He sounds like Hitler. His machinations are that of Hitler. His words are that of Hitler. History is repeating itself right in front of our eyes, and many of you don't even understand that history is repeating itself. Now, the question is, how would you have behaved in 1939? Because that's how you have to behave today. And I'm trying to warn you, just as Churchill tried to warn the British, what was coming. It doesn't matter whether I am right or wrong. It doesn't matter whether you believe me. It's happening. They are on a collision course with the West. He wants a collision with the West. The trick is to kill him and knock out the mullahs before they get more powerful and before they can organize even further their global jihad. And the tentacles spread even further in our own country. And they're spreading the tentacles through our own freedoms. They're using our freedoms to spread their tentacles in our own country. Our freedoms are going to choke us to death. Our lawyers and our legal system are being used against us. And the faster we destroy his nuclear ambitions from the air, and the faster we cut the tentacles off in the United States, the less damage there will be. But make no mistake about it. There will be great damage in this country one way or the other. And it's only a matter of time. And so, as I say, do you take your enemy on now while he's building himself up? Or do you take your enemy on later when he's already built up? That's the only choice you have. They're not good choices. They're terrible choices. Now, the Democrats want to put their head in the sand and say that we can just talk our way out of it. History has shown us very few things. But one thing history has shown us is that you can never negotiate with a tyrant. We are negotiating with a tyrant who believes in a book and believes that every word of that book is written by God, his Allah. You can't reason with a madman. Hitler had his Mein Kampf. This one has the Quran. Do you understand that? The only thing that can save us right now is to kill him and his mullahs and knock out his nuclear capacities from the air as quickly as possible. And then cut the tentacles off Hezbollah and the United States of America. Cut them off overnight. Break down any door you have to break down. Forget habeas corpus. Throw the ACLU in prison with them, and you'll see how much the ACLU loves them the next day. So that's all I want to say. And we'll go on to any other topic you want. You want me to joke around about the dog? I'll joke around about the dog. You want me to talk about Lipitor? I'll joke around about Lipitor. You want me to joke around about the political zoo? I'll joke around about the political zoo. Whatever you want. But I'm telling you, we're sitting here in the eye of the hurricane. And it's only a matter of time until it's necessary. And it has to happen sooner rather than later. KNEW, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Before I say anything about Iran, I'd like to say something that might surprise you, that you remind me of Henry Miller and Jack Kerouac.
Well, I know that's a nice thing, but if Henry Miller and Jack Kerouac were alive, I don't think that you'd say the same thing. But okay, thank you very much. But you're going to disagree with me politically, and that's perfectly okay. Go ahead, please.
Well, you know, the UN inspectors have been there, and they just came out with a report saying that there is no nuclear buildup.
Wait a minute, hold on. He was here in New York about a month ago, the Hitler of Iran, who said that he has reached the point of no return in the development of the nuclear capacity. He himself said it. He said that there's no one who can stop him. Now, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the UN inspectors or the Hitler of Iran? He's boasting about it.
He's not someone to be believed. He's a bragger and a boaster. And, you know, we don't base what we do on just what this guy says.
So, in other words, we wait until a bomb goes off in New York, then we act?
Well, no. But, you know, being so casual about going to war with Iran.
Oh, I'm not so casual at all. I'm very definitively not casual about going to war with Iran. First of all, let me define the terms. I didn't say boots on the ground. I said bombs on the ground. Let's be very clear. We don't have the capacity for invading Iran. It's a very large country. We could see what happened with Iraq because they didn't use sufficient air power to knock out the enemy in his stronghold before sending the poor boys in to get their faces and legs shot off. I saw what that did in Iraq, so I'm not a child when it comes to that, because we have cowards running everything who want to run a nice, polite little war. That's why we're still in Iraq 6 years later. No, I understand we can't put boots on the ground, but we can sure put bombs on the ground. Moreover, the Iranian people would dance in the streets if he was knocked off with his mullahs who were trying to drag the country back 1,000 years. So the fact of the matter is, I think that the war is necessary. It's going to come anyway. Thank you, John. And thanks for the compliments about Kerouac and whoever. Henry. I liked Henry Miller a lot. What do you, well, you know, who would Henry Miller bomb? And who would Jack Kerouac bomb is the question. Well, it's a question if you live in the denizens of some, you know, Bohemian Grove or something like that. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has all these stories and more. Anything you want to talk about is possible. Chris in San Diego, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Please.
I just want to agree 100% with what you're saying, Michael. You're 100% correct about the need to take out the command and control of Iran. They're spewing their hatred throughout our country, and they're trying to take what we love and hold sacred and put their belief above ours. And they'll do it by the sword. They'll say it, and they'll use what's called taqiyya.
No, they'll use any method necessary. Where they have the power, they'll use the power. Where they don't have the power, they'll use the courts. Right now, they're using three methods against us. And they're using our own media against us. They're using our own lawyers and laws against us. And where necessary, they're using violence against us. And so I understand this. And believe me, the FBI knows it. The CIA knows it. The president knows it. The only people who don't know it are the liberal pukes who are controlling this country's media.
Michael, one of the only ways that we will be able to defend ourselves against these Islamo-fascist thug puke imbeciles is by what you had said, is by forming bands of militias that can on their own, the government is completely afraid of this, it can on their own, can identify these groups, and they will, the Islamic fascists, they will, once Iran gives the okay or one of the other countries gives the okay, they will act out and they will awaken,
right,
should we say. The
That's correct. Right. And there aren't enough police, there aren't enough National Guardsmen to stop them, particularly with the rules of engagement. We are going to have to form armed militias in the United States of America to protect our neighborhoods from the Islamofascists amongst us. There is no question that we have to do that. And the problem here is that the government should be doing this for us. They should be helping us form these self-defense militias. Same countries around the world have built underground bomb shelters, not only for the leadership, but for millions of their own citizens. We're one of the few countries on earth that has not spent the money necessary to build underground bomb shelters for the citizenry. Do you know that? Do you know that China has vast underground cities that are there for the survival of the common Chinese? We don't even have that in this country. Now, the same is true with regard to militias. There's no reason in the world that we as armed Americans should not be organized by our own government and be shown what to do in the event of a triggering by Hezbollah in one of our neighborhoods by a sleeper cell. We should be shown how to organize, how to call each other, how to produce formation, how to march upon that particular cell, and what to do about it to protect our homes, not to call 911. Do you understand that, Chris?
I understand it. Michael, you said a long time ago, and it still sticks with me every day I think about it. You know, these Hezbollah, Hamas, all these guys, you know, they see America, they see Hollywood. That's what they see. You know what? They don't see our hunters. They don't see our sportsmen. They want to come over here and try that stuff with us? Let's bring them over to our hunters.
Chris, that's what I'm trying to say. These are the same people, the hunters, the others, the fighters in this country, the retired military, the retired police, the active military, the active police who are all armed to the teeth, the tens of millions of Americans who are expert marksmen. Why are we not being called upon of how to react in the event of a national emergency? Thank you for the call. It's a great question. It's a great question. Do you understand that? Medford, Oregon. Kim, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hey there. Well, I'd just like to make a comment regarding how many votes you've gotten to go for president. You know, 22 million, is that what you said?
Yes.
And yet, here we've got Al Gore, who wins some major prize for doing ridiculous stuff. And he gets 163,000 votes, and they decide that he needs to run for president.
He got 163,000 votes where?
I was reading an article in the newspaper.
I don't understand it. Al Gore received 163,000 votes where and for what? I don't follow this.
His petition, to run for president. That is, they got.
I see. They made that a news story. Well, don't you understand that the media is afraid of me? Do you understand that they refuse to acknowledge the power of this audience? How do they explain away 22 million people who would take the time to go onto my website and vote over the last 6 months? How long can they continue to ignore it? I'll tell you right now, I have not told you what I want you to do, but I'm going to tell people what I want them to do when the time is right. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do with your vote when the time comes. McCain doesn't understand that. Giuliani doesn't understand that. Romney doesn't understand that. And they're all going to lose as a result of their ignorance. Thank you for the call. Now, in the last couple of segments ago, I said that Bush has moved from the left to the far left, and he's moving there on a regular basis. And why did I say that? I said, take a look at who the White House has named the 2007 Medal of Freedom recipients. Okay, let's go down the list. One of the winners of the Medal of Freedom includes Brian Lamb of C-SPAN. Brian Lamb is the puke, the punk, liberal, pinko, communist puke who buried the Talkers Magazine Freedom of Speech DVD Award and did so while putting you down. As you called him, he played your sound bites and laughed at you. George Bush has chosen to honor a man who has disrespected 20 million Americans. What does that tell you about the Republican Party and George Bush? Play Brian Lamb right now.
On my desk here is a magazine called the Talkers Magazine from May of 2007.
Let's stop right here. What's the emphasis? The Talkers Magazine. What do you think? It's nothing, Putz? You're nothing. You're nothing. Talkers Magazine represents all the talkers in talk radio. You know who you are, Brian? You're a Putz. A, you make nothing a year. B, you have a nothing audience. And C, my audience is 100 times bigger than your audience, and you could sneer all you want at this magazine called Talkers, but the fact of the matter is you're nothing but a puppet of the government. You've always been a puppet of the government. You may as well go work for the government because you're a government agent. I, in 1997, gave a speech before the Commonwealth Club, and the title of it was Beware the Government Media Complex. Brian Lamb is a puppet of the United States government. It doesn't matter whether it's left or right, Democrat or Republican. Now, how else do you explain George Bush giving a Medal of Freedom award to a man who is a propagandist, a man who runs C-SPAN who would not even run the Freedom of Speech Award? What is it that they're so afraid of in my speech? Now, several thousand of you, I think it's 20, I don't know how many thousand of you now have copies of the DVD, my DVD award, which I have sold on my website over the, I don't know how many, 2,000, 5,000, I don't keep track of the numbers. Is there anything in that entire speech that you find objectionable or racist or homophobic or Islamophobic? The answer is nothing. Then why is the government afraid, through the Brian Lamb stooge, to acknowledge the fact that C-SPAN has buried the Freedom of Speech Award? I'm going to play it for you over this week, not now. I'm not in the mood right now to replay my own speech, but I'm trying to make a bigger point. The Bush administration is moving from the left to the far left. They have named their 2007 Medal of Freedom recipients. Now, one of them is, as I said to you, Brian Lamb. Brian Lamb's claim to fame is that he runs C-SPAN. C-SPAN is a government agency, make no mistake about it. And it's an anti-conservative outlet as well. The others who have won it include Liberia's president and a so-called beloved U.S. author. Now, can you tell me why he would give a Medal of Freedom award to Harper Lee for writing To Kill a Mockingbird in the year 2007? Answer, affirmative action. I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. What I dug up for you from the archives, and I'm going to play only 30 seconds of it, is my speech from 1997, 10 years ago. I can't believe it's like yesterday. Beware of the government media complex. And I gave this before the Commonwealth Club. Again, never mentioned by Wikipedia, never mentioned by the liberal scum who run everything. Listen to this speech, 30 seconds of it. Go ahead.
Beware the government media complex. I hope to prove to you over the next period of time that perhaps never before in American history has there been so cozy a relationship. And this, by the way, transcends right or left, has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with press freedom. And I want to state that from the outset. I believe that today we have a relationship that is too cozy between government and media. Many of the speeches...
Right there. 1997, Michael Savage. Now you understand why I'm the Jesse James of the media, why they all fear me. They know that I know what's going on. They know that I know that there's really no difference between the two parties. They know that I know that the press and the government are one and the same. They know that I know that Izvestia in the ex-Soviet Union was not too far removed from what we have today. Oh, you may say, well, in the ex-Soviet Union, the government printed the newspapers, and the government had reporters who reported what the government wanted the people to read, and that was true. You're telling me that Murdoch and his tentacles in book publishing, in magazines, in newspapers, in the Fox Channel, and the other two moguls who run the entire American media landscape are different than a government? And you're telling me that you think these media outlets report all of the news objectively? You know that that's not a fact. And so what's the difference between a government-controlled media and a press that pretends to be asking tough questions when, in fact, it really is acting on behalf of the government? And this goes to C-SPAN. Why would George Bush grant the Medal of Freedom Award to Brian Lamb, of all people, Brian Lamb, who is nothing but a stooge of the government? Why would he grant a Medal of Freedom Award when Brian Lamb went out of his way to disrespect the 20 million listeners of this show and to disrespect the entire talk radio industry, unless George Bush is giving you the middle finger? George Bush is saying to everybody in talk radio, screw all of you. I'll give an award to the man who I respect, not who the people respect. It's a very dangerous time we're in when the people think that, A, George Bush is a conservative and that Hillary Clinton is a liberal. Bob, KNEW, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. I love it. We love it when you vent. You have to do more of it. You are our relief valve. You have to do it and keep on doing it.
Well, let me tell you something about the statements I made earlier. Last week, I read a story that several Oklahoma lawmakers returned the Quran that was forced down their throats by a state panel on diversity because one of the lawmakers said that the Muslim holy book condones the killing of innocent people, which it does. At least 17 legislators in the ballsy state of Oklahoma have notified the Nazis on the diversity panel that they're going to return the gift of the Quran. You hear what I'm saying to you? They are here, and they're brainwashing our politicians. They brainwashed the media already into walking around on eggshells every time they say Muslim, Islam, or Quran. They virtually get on their knees and whisper. But they haven't yet broken the legislators in Oklahoma, nor have they broken talk radio. You understand that, Bob?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I was watching TV the other night, and I saw this idiot on TV, Hans Blix, and I swear to God, I could see him smirk when he recalled the trouble he's given to our country. This guy.
Oh, the nuclear inspector, Hans Blix, the UN inspector?
Right, exactly.
Another worldwide socialist America hater from hell.
I'm running out of TV.
Thank you. Some of us see the truth and don't wait. It's been written that God sees the truth and waits. It's also true that some of us see the truth and don't wait to be told what the truth is. 1-800-449-8255. There are tremendous stories out there. The meddler, Nancy Pelosi, has triggered a new front in the Iraq war. The bungler, Nancy Pelosi, has driven the poll numbers for Congress into the toilet, the lowest in history. Congress right now, under the Democrat leadership of, unfortunately, is lower than that of George Bush. It's not good for America to make these reports, but they're true. Why is that true? Why has Nancy Pelosi now dragged Congress to the lowest ratings in history? There are many reasons, not the least of which is America knows she's a bungler. She and Tom Lantos, that creep, the guy is like a Frankenstein, Tom Lantos, an arrogant Frankenstein. They provoked this latest round of war between Turkey and the Kurdish terrorists. You can thank Lantos and the lobbyists for that.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Time to play.
Southerns, hear ye, country call ye, up blessed worse than death before ye, two arms.
Yeehaw, this is the America. This is the America that those Islamic fascist, robe wearing, throwback bums have never seen.
Two arms, and Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie.
Let's get it on!
For Dixie's
let's bring it on!
Live or die for Dixie.
To bomb Iran, bring our boys home now. Bomb Iran, bring our boys home now.
And conquer peace for Dixie.
Bomb Iran, bring our boys home now.
Northern flags and south winds flutter. Two arms.
Let's get it on!
In Dixie, send them back your fierce.
Bomb Iran, bring our boys home now.
Two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hoorah for Dixie's
wipe Hezbollah out of America. Cut the tentacles of Iran off. Let the tentacles of that octopus off now. Get every hunter in America armed to the teeth.
Fear no danger, shun no labor. Lift up rifle, pike, and saber. Two arms in Dixie. Shoulder pressing close to shoulder. Let the odds make each heart bolder. Two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand. And live or die for Dixie. Two arms and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms and conquer peace for Dixie.
Back bastards! I'm so sick of them! I'm so sick of the brainwashing about Islam and Muslims and the Quran! Shove it! Shove it all! I'm sick of it! Get take the music off. I have never lived through a brainwashing like I've lived through for the last 5 years. Every day, another story, sweet-selling Islam and the Quran. It goes in the face. It's so counterintuitive. Wherever you look on the earth, there's a bomb going off or a car going up in flames, and it's Muslims screaming for the blood of Christians or Jews or anyone they hate. And every day, we're told the opposite here. Everything we know to be true, we're told, oh, don't believe what your mind tells you. Believe what the diversity trainers tell you. Believe what the government tells you. It's a religion of peace. Well, why don't they prove it's a religion of peace? Why don't they put down their hateful little book for a few minutes and tell us why, when we pick up their hateful little book, I can read chapter and verse. I can see what it says in their book of hate. It says that if you see a stranger who is not a Muslim, either convert him or kill him. You want me to quote the sutra? I'll quote the sutra. Page after page after page is about religion, a religion that teaches convert or kill. A religion that says oppress women, kill homosexuals, kill the Jew, kill the Christian, kill the infidel. Page after page after page. And we're supposed to sit here and listen to this rubbish about a religion of peace. And every day Bush brings in thousands of more of these throwbacks. Throwbacks wearing medieval costumes, walking around spitting on the ground every time they see a Christian or a Jew or a so-called infidel. These throwbacks think they're better than you underneath it all. And 90% of them are on welfare. 90% of them come in here and all they do is breed more bombers. More bombers and more bombers. And you're telling me this is a sane country? There, I gave it to you from the bottom of my heart. If you don't like it, it's too damn bad. Go write the FCC. Marlena in Los Angeles, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I appreciate you so much. I thank God you give your all for us because you are so right. We are headed down a hell of a road. And thank
we're not
God.
Headed down the road. We're not headed down the road. We're way down. Down the road. We're not heading toward it, Marlena. I understand that. I don't think that the people in America understand what Islamofascism is. They don't even understand what Islam is. Islam is not a religion by any definition. Most religions are different than Islam. Isn't that true? Islam, as it is practiced in most parts of the world, is a political ideology wrapped in a religion. That's much different than Christianity or Judaism, isn't it? Do you understand that? Do you understand that important difference? All of you liberals who believe in what's the word I'm looking for? Well, forget the word I'm looking for. All you liberals who hate Christianity. All you liberals who sneer at Christians who go to the church and believe in God. How come you have no such contempt for your friends who put the burqa on their women and cut off their clitorises? How come you turn your head away from that? And what do you turn to? You turn to your paganism. Your paganism now tells you to worship the god of global warming, which is just a theory put forth by the biggest huckster of our generation, Al Gore. Let me tell you something. I'm a naturalist. I'm a trained scientist. I'm also a boater. I've lived next to the water a good portion of my life. I read tide charts. Tide charts and tide tables don't lie. There hasn't been a change in 1 centimeter in the level of the ocean. So far as I can tell, you could prove me otherwise. Show me 1 centimeter of change in the level of the ocean somewhere in the world. Show me 1 centimeter of change. I lived in the Bay Area now since 1974. I read the tide charts. They can write the tide charts several years ahead. They can tell you when the tide's going to go up, when it's going to go down, how high it's going to be, how low it's going to be. I live next to the water. Not 1 centimeter higher is the water. Now, Al Gore is an ex-tobacco farmer. from Tennessee. And it could be that he lives inland and doesn't even know what the ocean is, nor what tides are, which is why he can believe in his own hype. But you see, those of us who actually live on the water, boat on the water, study the celestial heavens and study the moon and study the tides, understand that there's nothing to prove that we have global warming right now. Not one iota of truth. And yet these liberal morons are worshiping a new religion called global warmingism, which is really an offshoot of the bigger religion called environmentalism. That is their paganism. Environmentalism is paganism. And so, therefore, one of their beliefs is global warmingism. It's a doctrine much like clitorectomies are for throwback Muslims in the darkest parts of Africa. Just as the throwbacks in the most throwback areas of Islam in the darkest of Africa, when they're not stopped by the government, cut the clitorises off their young girls because they don't want them to have pleasure, and they say it's in the Quran. The same extremism can be found in the religion of environmentalism as it regards global warmingism, which is the same kind of primitive thinking. It is paganism, make no mistake about it. All right, I've said what I want to say, frankly. Las Vegas, what do you want to say? Bobby, you're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, my God. You are the man of the United States people. You tell it like it is. And one of the things I'm really, really worried about is, are you protected? Because there's so many people that one pull. You talk about what's real in the United
States. I'm protected by somebody up there. God protects me.
He does, but I worry.
Yes, God protects me. God protects me. If everyone spoke out the way I did, we could solve this mess in a very short period of time. It's time to stop hiding behind your pillow. Speak it out at the supermarket. Tell them what you think of Islam. Tell them what you think of Muslims. Tell them what you think of these things. Stop hiding what you feel. Say it to everybody you meet. Let them prove it's a religion of peace. Say it on the supermarket line. And don't care what stares you get from those dumb idiots who are checking out behind you with their Cracker Jacks. Say it to everybody you meet wherever you go. If America started to say it like it is, we could take the country back from the maniacs who are bringing them in by the tens of thousands. What sane nation that worships the U.S. Constitution, which is the greatest document of freedom ever written, would bring in people who worship a book that tells them the exact opposite? Make no mistake about it, the Quran is not a document of freedom. The Quran is a document of slavery and chattel. It teaches you that you are a slave, that you must be enslaved by their belief system. What else would you call a burqa? What would you call a burqa but the enslavement of a woman? How in the world can you not see what's in front of your own eyes? How can this country continue to bring in tens of thousands of throwbacks who believe in the slavery of mankind, the bondage of mankind, when we are a country built upon the freedom of mankind? Think about that and then get back to me on the Savage Nation. Go ahead. Savage. It's the Savage Nation. Maybe you can hear some new fire in me again. It's the old fire that's come back, and it's come back because I went back to the source of all my fire, which is the source of all energy and all power, which is God. I had turned away from God again, and I had forgotten what happens to people who turn away from God. Now, I'm going to give you a little instruction in how to get your energy back that you'll never forget as long as you live. And if you listen to what I tell you, it's going to save your life. It's going to pull you out of the gutter itself. I'm going to start right here. Let's say there's a scale of 0 to 1,000 of energy. Let us say that Jesus is 1,000 on that scale, that there are certain people who've come along on the earth who have brought 1,000-fold in terms of the manifestation of mankind. You could say the Jewish Bible is 1,000. You could say that Jesus is 1,000. So, for example, when a Christian gets up in the morning, or an Orthodox Jewish person gets up in the morning, and the Jewish person says, the first thing he says in the morning is, I offer thanks to you, living and eternal King, for you mercifully restored my soul within me. Your faithfulness is great. They then wash their hands and they make a blessing. And one of the first things the Orthodox Jew says to acknowledge that he's not God himself He says, my God, the soul which you have given within me is pure. You have created it, you breathe it into me, and you preserve it within me. You will eventually take it from me and restore it within me in time to come. And he goes on with certain prayers. And in these prayers, he acknowledges that he's part of a larger constellation than his own being. And one of the most important things that the prayer book teaches a person to say is a prayer about life and death. And he also says to God, thank you for not making me a slave and things of that nature. It's astonishing to me that thousands of years ago, the people were able to understand these things. And in the morning, the little man in the black coat, who you may respect or you may detest, the Jewish man, reads the following prayer. He says, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has formed man in wisdom and created with him numerous orifices and cavities. It is revealed and known before the throne of your glory that if but one of them were to be blocked, or one of them were to be opened, it would be impossible to exist even for a short while. Blessed are you, Lord our God, who heals all flesh and performs wonders. That's in the prayer book. Now, the Christian prays to, through Jesus to God, and in doing so, whether he does it once a week or once a day or realizes that Jesus is with him, the Orthodox Jew prays three times a day, he's touching that 1,000 point. Now, what if, on the other hand, you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is go on internet porn because the monsters have put it there and made it so easy for you? You're going on to a zero, and your day is being established by where you begin the day. You could begin the day at 1,000 by praying to the Almighty, or you could begin the day at 1,000 or below zero, less than zero, by going on to the internet. So what if you don't go on the internet, but you don't go on to porn, but you just go on and look at the news stories, and you think that you're doing something for your psyche, when in fact you're starting at about 80 out of 1,000. So your energy level is at about it's going to perform at about a level, a mental, physical, spiritual level of 80 all day long. You're dissipating your brain. You're going to stay at the level of Nancy Graceless, Greta Van Susteren. Any one of those salacious hags in the media, for example, lives at about an 80 day and night. At their best day, they're at an 80. I'm picking them not because I pick on them for any reason. I'm giving you an example. Or if you want to focus on gossip or celebrity news, you're at about a 10. That's where your mind is going to stay all day. So you have a choice. You could pick up a Bible and you could start reading, and it could be so strange to you that you think you're crazy. You could look upon that Bible as though it's a foreign object if you want. But I can guarantee you that if you read that Bible in the morning, I don't care if it was for 1 minute, and your mind is screaming, put it down, put it down, put it down, it's garbage, it's garbage, it's garbage. Just fight your way through that first minute. Try to make it like a push-up. Try to do 2 push-ups the next day, then 3. You don't even understand that this society has destroyed you spiritually on purpose in order to peddle you pornography and products. They got to break down your spirituality. They could not sell their garbage to a spiritually integrated man. How could they sell that to a man who believes in God and believes in morality? They couldn't do it. So if you don't think there's a conspiracy to break you down spiritually in order to sell you that pornography and violence and filth that they peddle in the newspapers or on the internet, you're mistaken. It's a program. So you can program your mind to 1,000, and then you might function near that level all day long. Or you could set it up at a zero, and you can function at a zero and wonder why you're depressed. You can wonder why you drag yourself around like a worm, and you feel like a worm or an insect, because your mental level is that of a worm or an insect, if not lower. You were given a portion of the divine spark. That's what all religion teaches all man at all time, is that within all of us there is a divine spark. How else would you define what religion is and what its purpose was all these centuries? It was to take man to his highest possible level, not to murder his neighbor, not to take a sword and cut a man's head off and make him worship that religion. Those are perversions of a religion. The religion itself is pure. It's what mankind has done and does to the religion that makes it impure. Do you understand that? And so what I'm going to get back to is very important. I really pray that one person listening to this show amongst the hundreds of thousands or millions who may be hearing me right now can be helped by these words. I'm going to ask you to try it tomorrow morning. I'm going to ask you that instead of doing what you normally do the minute you get out of bed, which is probably run to the computer, And let's say you're a normal average person who's reasonably interested. You right away click on this report, that news, and you think you're a smart, knowledgeable person. Well, you're smart and knowledgeable about the news. You're functioning at about a level of 80 out of 1,000. What if instead you got out the Bible? Remember the Bible that used to be in the hotels before AT&T pumped pornography into every hotel room in America? Remember there used to be a Gideon Bible in your dresser drawer instead of a channel that shows women making love to each other or hurting each other or beating each other up, courtesy of AT&T Comcast?
Savage.
So I have moved around a little bit today on the Savage Nation, but I'm trying to tell you where the fire has come from after a long period of, well, I don't know how to describe it. And I may go in and out of it again. You know, this is not a guaranteed surefire daily thing, but you can touch into that energy sometimes and sometimes you can't. And that's the object of repetitive reaching for it, because just as a martial artist who continues to pound his hand against stone will eventually make his bones strong enough to break the stone, as you've seen them. You take an average man, he tries to break that brick, he's going to break his hand. That's logic, right? How do you explain that a man can take his fist and jam it through three cinder blocks or whatever the number are? Six, I've seen it done. And I've seen the shows where they actually show that the bone itself has been broken so many times it's become harder. And the muscle itself has become harder. And as you understand how the true martial artist trains, and I'm not a martial artist, don't get me wrong, but I study many things from a different point of view. They're hardening their sinews, their muscles, their bones through constant stress and training, which is how they become sort of supermen. You know that if you're just a lightweight trainer or a light gym goer, the more you exercise, the stronger you get. You know that, right? It's logical. And yet we never hear anyone talking about training yourself spiritually. It's exactly the same thing. There's no difference. You can't just dip into a Bible for 1 second and say, oh, I didn't feel anything. It's worthless. What would you get out of doing one push-up a week? Nothing. What if you went into a gym and you went on one machine for two pulls, you went, woof, woof, hey, I went to the gym and nothing happened. Well, that's what you're doing. But the media is so atheistic and so anti-God that they tell you that it's all crap, it's all rubbish, it means nothing. Well, it requires a tremendous dedication, and about the same kind of dedication you would have to devote to building up your body. You have to rebuild your spirit. And I'm telling you that that's the only thing that can save you as a person and save this nation as a nation. Nothing else can save us. Right now, it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And only by rebuilding man by man, person by person, can we save the country. So you say, what are you, egotistical, egomaniacal, megalomaniacal? Yeah, maybe all of the above, maybe none of the above. Maybe I'm just a man with common sense who sees things for what they are. I'll let you decide. Here are some of the articles on michaelsavage.com. 70,000 British go to other countries for medical treatment rather than be subjected to the National Health Service. How's that for socialized health care that the Democrats want to impose upon us? The AIDS virus, we find out, invaded the United States through one Haitian immigrant who came here in 1969 from Africa. He came from Africa with AIDS. He went to Haiti. The Haitians landed on our shore, and biological tests have shown that the entire AIDS epidemic came from Haiti. Interesting study. It originated, by the way, according to the same scientists, in Africa in the 1930s, when a group of infected monkeys were killed, not cooked properly, and eaten by local people. They, in other words, picked up a zoonotic infection from those monkeys, which is very interesting, the whole idea of the raw and the cooked, which goes back to an anthropological treatise written by Claude Lévi-Strauss sometime in the 1960s, I believe. I remember how to read it in the original French to pass a master's dissertation level for one of my higher degrees. And the raw and the cooked was a very interesting anthropological study where the anthropologist declared that man left his primitive stage by going from the stage of eating raw foods to making fire and eating cooked foods, the raw and the cooked. And what's interesting to me is that we have an entire movement in the United States of America of pagans, mainly paganistic atheists, throwbacks, who have gone from the cooked to the raw, who actually think that they're holier than you, and more pure than you by eating so-called raw food diets. Now, their health suffers. In every case I've ever seen, they are emaciated. They're deficient in multiple nutritional deficiencies are evidenced in them, whether it be iron or B6 or magnesium or B12. Almost all of the raw food nuts are very sickly people, and eventually they will give up such a diet. But it's really an extension and a reflection, rather, of their spiritual decline, moving from the cooked to the raw. So those are some of the ideas that I think of. Look, I have many ideas. Some of them are very fertile for many of you. I understand that. And then you take the ideas and run with them, which is good. I don't really need the credit for it. I'm way past the point of needing the credit for anything, to be honest with you. Something happened to me in the last year. I got to level with you again, where I am a very competitive person, super competitive. Everything I have in life, I had to fight for and claw for. I was born into a poor family with no connections whatsoever. We knew nobody. And everything I have achieved through walking on glass and hot coals and pulling myself up over a cliff while bleeding. The fact of the matter is, anything I may have achieved, I have achieved through tremendous work and because somebody up there loves me. I'll tell you that right now. Now, having said that, I will tell you that some of this competitiveness, which is all tied into a survival instinct, which is all tied into something else, has left me. This competitiveness where I had to be number one, where I had to win, I had to prove myself, I had to do something, is gone from me. Something has happened in the last year. Now, you may say it's wisdom. Some may say it's defeat. I don't feel the need to be in competition with anybody. I don't feel the need to prove anything to anybody. All I have need to do is to get up on this show as often as I can and try to disseminate what I think to be our important ideas. And I'll mix it in with jokes. I'll mix it in with the personal, as I said to you, the political, the spiritual, whatever I need to in order to get those points across. And it's a melange. It's a mixture. It's a pastiche. So if I open the show today by telling you that Teddy almost drowned and I saved him, you can go to the bank on that. If I tell you that my guts feel like a python who ate a cow because of tofu that I ate last night, you can go to the bank with that. If I told you that Bush is moving from the left of center to the far left of center, you can take that to the bank. If I tell you that the Islamo-fascists are flooding this country with tens of thousands of potential terrorists, you can take that to the bank. If I tell you that your government is filled with the biggest boobs ever invented, you can take that to the bank, and so forth and so on. I understand, by the way, that Dick Cheney's on a hunting trip in upstate New York. We don't know if Karl Rove has been invited, or whether he would have accepted such an invitation, but we'll have to wait and see. Where is Karl Rove? I would expect that he's not on that hunting trip for some reason. 1-800-449-8255. Jeff, KNEW, San Francisco, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
You are the Paul Revere of our time, delivering a life-or-death message that Islamo-fascism is coming, just as Paul Revere delivered the message that the Brits were coming in his midnight ride. And your radio show is the midnight ride of our time, and God bless you for that.
It's a complete statement, my friend, and I thank you for it. There's nothing I can say that you haven't already said, because you're 100% right. Yes, it's not the British who are coming, but the Islamo-fascists who are here. It's the Islamo-fascists who are here. It's the Islamo-fascists who are here. God, I wish we had J. Edgar Hoover when we need him. I wish we had J. Edgar Hoover running the FBI right now. You know, he was mocked and ridiculed and lambasted by the illegitimate left scum who made up stories about him. But a story came out today that you're not going to hear the liberals talking about, which is extremely intriguing. And I linked it up from the New York Post on michaelsavage.com, if it's still up there. I don't know where where it wound up, where it is. Where's the story here? It's gone already? Anyway, it's a story about a mob informer, a woman, who claims that the government went through the FBI to organize criminals to find out where the Freedom Riders were buried in Mississippi back in the 1960s. Remember the racist had killed the Freedom Riders and buried them somewhere and nobody could find them? Well, the government, here it is, top right, mob girlfriend. FBI used organized crime muscle to help in 1960 civil rights case. It says the FBI covertly used mob muscle to help solve the 1964 disappearance of three civil rights volunteers in Mississippi. A gangster's ex-girlfriend testified today. What she said is that the government was at a dead end. They couldn't find the bodies of Mickey Schwerner and the others who were killed down there. So the FBI was desperate. They went to a mobster who they took into a hotel room and they gave him a gun, according to her. He went out and found the Ku Klux Klan member, put a gun to his head and said, you tell us where those bodies are. And through that act, they found the bodies of the civil rights workers. I am trying to tell you that we need an FBI like that under J. Edgar Hoover today to stop the Islamofascists before they kill all of us or many of us and convert the rest of us through time. And we need to start using those techniques all over again. We know that in World War II, for example, the government had to use folks who ran the waterfront in New York in order to stop the German saboteurs from operating freely on the waterfront, because they knew everybody who was down there and they knew just how to do everything. Now, there's a subtext to the story of the Lusitania, and it's alleged that the mob sank the Lusitania to tell the government that they were in charge. I don't know the ins and outs of the Lusitania part of it, that it was not really Gestapo agents who sank the Lusitania, but it was the very same people the government had to turn to at the end of the day. And there was a deal done, which is that they will do it if Luciano could come back from wherever, Sicily, I believe. It was a very good deal as far as I'm concerned. I want to know why the government is afraid to do such deals now. Well, I have an answer for myself. You want to hear the answer? It's the cowardly pukes from NYU, the vermin in the ACLU. They're killing us. They're crippling us. We're all going to die unless they're stopped. Unless these left-wing lawyers are roped in and controlled by any means necessary, this country is doomed. We cannot defend ourselves. And I'll take it to another analogy. I'll take it to the level of the AIDS epidemic itself. I studied the AIDS epidemic. I'm no expert, but in 1986, I published a book called Maximum Immunity, where I was forced to study the immune system in some detail as an outsider looking in. I don't claim any expertise in the field, but I certainly know the rudiments of the immune system and how it works. And I understand that when an immune system can no longer defend itself, the viruses, the bacteria, the protozoans that are ever present proliferate and cause diseases. They're called opportunistic infections. We have defense cells in our body, and when we're healthy or we stimulate our defense cells, we can fight off the viruses, the bacteria, the protozoans, and the other invaders that are ever present and keep them from becoming diseases, okay? A nation is not much different than a human body. A nation also has its defense cells. Defense cells are the police, the army, the air force, the marines. There are other defense cells, the FBI, the CIA, the national intelligence agencies. They're all defense cells of a nation. And they're all very good. They may be bureaucratic and they may make mistakes. We understand all of that. But meanwhile, they've kept the country alive all these hundreds of years, right? Now, what's happened now is that we have retroviruses that have invaded our defense cells. They're called liberal lawyers, the ACLU. They're in every agency I just mentioned to you. These liberal lawyers are in the CIA. They're in the FBI. They're in the police departments. They're in the Naval Intelligence Services. These liberal lawyers, however they got there, have metastasized to the point that they have paralyzed goodly portions of all of these defense agencies from protecting us against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And the way you wipe out these enemies is first you wipe out the virus that has invaded these defense agencies. You must find a method to purge these agencies of the ACLU type lawyers. The far left liberal lawyers must be purged from the FBI and the CIA in particular in order for this country to save itself. We do not have the political will to do this. We do not have one candidate on the horizon who would be able to go into the FBI and the CIA, do an internal investigation and throw them out, get rid of them before they kill all of us. That's what's going to be required for this country to survive. I'm the man to do it, but I am not going to do it. I'm never going to run for office. But I'll tell you this. I got 22 million of you who have gone on my website and said, leave radio and run for office. You keep voting, because at the end of the cycle, come next summer, I am going to determine the outcome of the election. I will determine who wins the next presidential election with your votes. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage.
Let me show you the state that the West is in because we have knock-kneed politicians running everything. Here's an article that we got out of Australia on the website. Aussie Muslim leader says jihadists will bomb Australia if relations between Muslims and police don't improve. My answer would be throw them out of the country. Put them in an internment camp. That's my answer. You're going to bomb us? Good. We'll build barbed wire fences and put you all in there and let the good ones out. Then we'll find out who's going to put a bomb in whose mother's house first. That's how you run a country. Otherwise, you're finished. You may as well pack up your bag and get out of your own homestead. They're going to take over Australia, and they're going to take over America unless we do the same thing here. That's how I see it. I know what I'm talking about. I know what the Islamic movement is all about. I know how they conquer nations. They do it by all means necessary. They're revolutionaries. It's the same doctrine of communism. By all means necessary and by any means necessary. If you have to bomb, you bomb. If you have to use force, use force. If you have to use the courts, use the courts. If you have to use propaganda, use propaganda. Right now, we're in a pincer movement. They're using all of them against us. Jeffrey on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation topic, please.
Mr. Savage, I've got a point to make about Western society versus the Islamo-fascists. I believe we all underestimate the power of and temptation of religion to gain movements such as the suicide bombings. A little while ago, Tony Blair said, after the July 7th bombings, that our will to live is greater than their will to kill. Well, personally,
I heard that, but let me tell you something. That's fallacious because the leaders run like little sissies when they're in the sights of our men in Iraq. They're not so anxious to run with a suicide bomb, the fat slobs who run the idiots in the suicide camps. The leaders are not so anxious to meet Allah. It's the psychopaths who have been brainwashed, not the leaders, I guarantee you.
There you go. You've got the point. And
yeah, of course I've got the point. I'm not sitting here quaking my boots over them. Have you seen one Islamo-fascist leader run to Allah with a suicide vest? I haven't seen it. They run the brainwashed ones. The automatons, they run out with the suicide vests. Don't be so afraid of them so fast. And put a bomb in their mother's house first. That's what I say. Bomb Iran and bring our boys home now. Bomb Iran and bring our boys home now. Bomb Iran and bring our boys home now. That should be the mantra for the next 3 months to give this government the courage to do what is necessary to save us. Because it's only a matter of time anyway. You can put off until a year from now, and Iran will have gotten stronger. They will have hardened their targets, and they will have activated their cells. They will have established Hezbollah in this country to a greater extent than it's already been established. Or you can knock off the head of the octopus now, and then you could cut the tentacles off and let them wither and die here in America. Period, end of story. And at the same time, this country needs somebody to build up its spirituality. I can't do it all. How much can one man do? Is it egomania for me to even suggest that it needs to be done? Is it megalomania for me to even suggest that I know what I'm talking about? Maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. I'll let you decide. Danny in Dallas, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Uncle Mike.
Yes, sir.
Three quick points. I love it when you do scripture on your radio show.
Thank you. I love it when I do it. I can only do it in selected times, or else the show will become a different show, Danny.
I understand. It's an absolute blessing to be born an American and to be an American.
Yes, freedom of religion or freedom to not be religious. But the last thing I want is any more brainwashing about Islam. The last thing I want is to be told over and over again what I know not to be true. I am sick and tired of the proselytizing by the Islamo-fascists. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to buy it anymore, and I'm not going to listen to it anymore, and I'm going to stand up to it every day that I come on this radio show. How do you like that, Danny?
Amen.
Amen. And you know something? Every church in this country should close its prayer session with the same exact message. Beware the proselytizing of the Muslims amongst us. Do not yield to it. Do not fear it. Go forth with Jesus. That's how I'd close a sermon. The Christians need to be fortified in this country, Danny. It can't be about sending canned goods to Indonesia after a tsunami. It can't be about do-gooding. It can't be only about doing good. It's great to do good, Danny. But let me tell you something. We're asleep, and the enemy is very much alive. The enemy is stalking us like a lion while we're sleeping like fat cows. Thanks for that call. Oh, there's so much more to be done, and I will be back in another hour to do it. We can talk about bomb Iran and bring our boys home now. We can talk about spirituality. We can talk about the other things that are on the website, michaelsavage.com, such as, let's see, AIDS virus invaded U.S. through Haitian immigrant in 1969. I don't think that'll be widely reported because that's a threefer. That's about illegal immigration. It's about a certain type of personality. We can't hear that story. No, it was invented by white men in laboratories and given to the poor and the homosexual.
Savage.
That's what you'll hear.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Southerns, hear ye country, call ye up, lest worse than death befall ye. Two arms, in Dixie. Blow all the beacon fires are lighted, let all hearts be now united. Two arms, in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie, hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand, and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie.
Blue Monday, got to work, flag or sleeve all day. Here come Tuesday, oh Tuesday, I'm so tired, got no time to play.
It is the Savage Nation. I got plenty of time to play. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. Many topics have been discussed. If you just joined us, it's too bad because you missed an awful lot that I'm not going to repeat. If you come into the classroom late, you'll have to do makeup, see somebody next to you to get the cliff notes of the Savage Nation today. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. To yours truly, Michael Savage. Many of the stories that I'd like to cover, which I will never cover, are on michaelsavage.com. And it's probably one of the best posting days I've seen in a very long time. I'm going to ask the web guy to leave most of them up tomorrow. These stories are amazing, and I don't really think that they're necessarily they need to be changed tomorrow. They're awesome. Try to read them tonight. Run through them, and you'll see what's going on in the world. I could start at the bottom and work our way up, or start at the top and work our way to the bottom, but you'll do it yourself. You're here to hear me, not to have me read the website. I understand that. Let's begin with a caller out of Atlanta, Georgia, WSB. Will, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. I just came out of classroom, currently a night student, and I just wanted to ask what the change has become in your life or over the past week that you have so much vigor and so much vivaciousness tonight. It seems like you were lacking in the last couple of weeks, and you were pretty down in the dumps with all the bad news and everything, and as a 28-year-old...
Yeah, you're right. No, you hit the nail on the head. You're reading it exactly the way it is. Which is, I went back to the original source of all energy, which is, you know, the Creator. What can I say?
Well, we certainly admire you. We want to hear you in this tone.
You got to understand that, you know, I'm a very spiritual man. I'm not a very religious man, but I'm a super spiritual man. And when the spirit runs dry, you have to turn to religion to replenish the spirit. That's an interesting statement unto itself that I've never read anywhere. And that is the power and importance of religion, incidentally, right there in that little statement that I just made. There are those who are religious to the point where they pray three times a day or six times a day or one time a year, you know. And then there are those who, you know, don't believe in it that much, but they respect those who are religious because they keep the whole tradition, the traditions alive. But when you run out of spiritual gas, you got to go to a filling station, Will. And there's only one place to go to the filling station, and that's religion itself. I mean, there are those who try it with, you know, I worship a tree, or I don't need a church, or I don't need a synagogue, or I don't need a temple. I could find it. They usually don't have it. I've heard it over and over from people, but they're usually spiritually empty. The fact of the matter is you have to go back to the source in order to tap into that energy, whatever that may be to you. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I said earlier is that for the Christians in the audience, Jesus is 1,000. On a scale of 0 to 1,000, Jesus is the 1,000, okay? To the Orthodox Jewish person who listens, the Torah is 1,000. And both religions teach you that you can tap into that 1,000 every morning if you get up and go right to that source. And if you don't, well, you might start at a 50 or an 80 by going on the internet, I said earlier. Or worse yet, you can go onto the internet for pornography or something even worse than pornography. God knows what's in man's mind. I have no idea the horror and the terror in man's mind, what they go onto the internet for. And they're starting at a negative 100 or a negative 1,000, some people. And then they walk around all day like ghouls. And there's only one way out of that. There's only one way out of it, which is spirituality, Will. Thanks for the call. So there's your answer. I mean, there's so many wonderful topics now that we need to talk about, and I can't do them all every day, you know. All I can say to you is that there's a power above it all, and that's all there is to it. What more do you need to know? How you tap into the power is your business. That's the beauty of America. Some of you don't believe it. You're atheists, and God bless you. If you're a good person, you're my hero. You know what I'm saying? If you're not a good person, I can't help you. It's between you and your creator, not me. And at the end of the day, you'll decide whether you are right or wrong if you care about those things. I can't do anything for you. I'm not a preacher. I'm a talk show host. And as a talk show host, I have to be as open to you as I dare and also as open to you as I need to be in order to get my message across. So that comes down to what is my message. My message today, the number one message, is bomb Iran and bring our boys home now. You want to make it into a bumper sticker? Go ahead, make it into a bumper sticker. Bomb Iran, bring our boys home now. That's the message, because it's only a matter of time till we have to launch an air campaign against Iran. And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. Now, it will be at great cost to us now, but it will be at a greater cost to us tomorrow. And we should have done this a year ago. The Hitler of Iran means business. He's a serious man. He's insane in some ways, but he's an evil man. There is no question about it. Any man who talks about destroying another nation or wiping them off the planet and saying it would be justified to lose 50% of his own citizens to do so is certifiably evil and certifiably insane. Now, those statements were made by the leader of Iran, the Hitler of our time, over and over and over again. He should have been assassinated when he was in New York. His plane should have been shot down over the Atlantic with all of his hateful bodyguards and mullahs, and the Iranians would have done a dance in the streets. They would have been liberated from these throwbacks who have seized their nation and stolen it from them. Make no mistake about it, the Persians are a modern people. They're an ancient people at the same time, and they were moving ahead. And these gangsters took their country and stole it from them. Ahmadinejad is a gangster. The mullahs are his hitmen. And they have stolen Iran from the Persian people. They would dance in the streets. Yes, innocent Iranians will be killed. And consequently, Americans, innocent Americans will be killed in this country as well. But far fewer innocent Americans will be killed after the snake's head is destroyed. Or shall I say the octopus's head is destroyed. But then the tentacles can be cut off and be made to wither in this nation. If we do not act now, but we wait until the election is over and we put, God forbid, a Democrat in power, he or she, and it probably will be a she, is going to have to do the same thing anyway. Whether she wants to or not, the day will come when she will have to authorize the bombing of Iran. And at that point, they will be much stronger than they are today. Every intelligence report indicates that. Every analyst indicates that. And so it's a terrible choice we have to make. It's not good either way. Either way is bad. No one is happy about a bombing campaign. Nobody celebrates a bombing campaign. Nobody wants a bombing campaign unless it's to save a nation. Right now, this country is tottering like a loose tooth. That's my message of today. And so if you'd like to talk about that, you can, or anything else. Sacramento, Vicky, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I really admire you. But I wanted
okay, please.
I lost my son 6 months ago because he needed a heart transplant. And like every day, I'd go up to the chapel and just pray with all my being that he would get a heart. He got his heart, and then he died 5 days later of a brain aneurysm. And
oh
it was
God.
Just like, just took everything out of me. Like, why did God do this? And then
well,
I.
Where is the positive in this call, Vicki? Is there any positive message in this?
Yes, that I went back to the chapel and I started praying again, thinking that God, you know, needed him.
Yes, and but please, I have almost no time, Vicki. I don't mean to be rude or cruel. What is the positive note in this call?
The positive note?
All right, get back to me when you have. I'm sorry, you know, I see the call screener made a mistake in putting that poor woman on this show. What he just did to me was steal all of the energy I gave you. This poor woman is suffering. This poor woman had a heartbreak and a tragedy. And this is what you call terrible call screening that could destroy a radio show. These things happen. No one's perfect. It was the worst possible caller you could have put on. Not because I want to mock this woman or make a mockery of the woman or her pain or suffering, but it's the opposite of what I was telling you. And it gives a terrible message to the people that they shouldn't believe in prayer or spirituality. Why I was thrown that curveball, I don't know, but you know, I'll handle it. I can handle anything that happens on this show. So someone threw me a curveball because they want to undermine me, I'll handle that as well. All right, I'll be back. Be here on the Savage Nation or be nowhere. As you well know, it's be here. Or be absolutely nowhere. I'll be right back on the Savage. Congressman Chuck Rangel introduced the Tax Reduction and Reform Act of 07. It is now being called the mother of all tax bills. Let me tell you, it'll be the biggest tax increase in American history. Of course, they're lying about it, as usual. They're trying to get rid of the alternative minimum tax by increasing taxes and repealing many business tax deductions. This is the money-hungry Democrats raping your pocketbook in the name of reform. I asked Congressman Thaddeus McCotter to join us today to talk about what this means to you, the taxpayers. Congressman McCotter, why is this being referred to as the mother of all tax bills?
It's going to be the single largest individual income tax increase in American history. It's a legacy, I suppose, Mr. Rangel would like to leave for generations of American taxpayers to come. It's also a telltale sign of what we've always, as conservatives, have known about the Democratic Party. They're a redistributionist party. They believe the people who produce wealth and jobs in this country somehow must be punished so that they can then take their money and give it to people who will vote for them. It is the mother of all tax bills, but it is unfortunately not a surprise to be coming from this new leftist majority.
What disruptions will this cause?
The American taxpayer and the economy, which is fragile at this point in time, is going to be walloped with the largest income tax increase on individuals in American history. The Democrats still seem to believe that economic growth is measured by the size of the growth in government. That is patently false. America's prosperity depends on the genius of our free people engaged in free enterprise, and the more money the government sucks out of the economy, the worse off and more anemic it's going to be. This has to be reminded to people. A lot of people in the past were upset with spending, and they were right to be so. But the only thing worse than government giving too much to people is government taking too much from you. That's where the Democrats come in. I think it's time to tell them to exit stage left from where they came.
Who will it affect most negatively?
People who work for a living will largely be negatively affected. What the Democrats like to do is they like to pick people who are disfavored amongst us, tax them, and then turn around and hand the proceeds to people everybody seems to like at a given time. The reality is that after they're done taxing everybody no one likes, they're going to come for you next. So it's a question of, if we allow someone to be taxed that is disfavored today, eventually your turn to be taxed will come later, because there aren't enough people in this country that nobody likes to sustain what the Democrats are currently spending money on. And I would urge people to stand up for the least of your brothers before they do it unto you.
What was it originally intended for? Do we still need it at all?
It's called the alternative minimum tax. It was a deal only government could devise, whereby they had two calculations for what you had to pay. And if the highest number comes in, you're paying the highest number. This was originally one of those classic tax fiscal bait and switches where they said, this will only apply to rich people. A Of course, the government tax grabbers think everybody's rich. So now it's starting to catch the middle class, because economic prosperity, as it increases, drives people up in terms of the number of income, the amount of income that gets taxed. So the big concern is that people who are caught under the alternative minimum tax are going to wind up paying more simply for being more productive. But I want to focus on this again. This tax, the alternative minimum tax, was sold as a way to, quote-unquote, soak the rich and achieve social justice in our time. The reality now is, once you allow someone else to be taxed, it's only a matter of time until you yourself are taxed. And this is living proof of that. The Republicans, the conservatives, we want to stop the tax and get rid of it altogether and make government live within its means. There is no simple fix, such as what Mr. Rangel wants to do. The real fix is to do the hard decision-making of getting rid of this tax and cutting the federal budget down to size where it belongs. The left understands that when they take your money, they take your prosperity and your liberty and subdivide it and redistribute it to somebody else. They don't need $50 billion to fix this. They need $50 billion to keep spending the way they can to get as many votes from people who receive the benefits of your hard-earned work to vote for them. The left has to take your money so that they can continue to acquire more control for the federal government over the sovereign American people. They don't need to do anything. They want to do this to you.
Hey, how can the Democrats claim that they're protecting the interests of working-class Americans while simultaneously taxing the most productive members of our society, the entrepreneurs, or the real earners?
Well, I think that people who listen to the show will understand. Look, the left is going to say anything they can to attain power and hope that no one notices until it's too late. You have to be alert. Benjamin Franklin said, "We will give you a republic for so long as you can keep it." The price of our liberty, be it against the terrorist enemy overseas, be it against the Chinese communists, and or any external threat, is important. But it is equally important here at home to beware of people who will steal your liberty by raising your taxes. You see, tax increases aren't simply about your prosperity. Every time your subservient government takes more of your money and spends more of your money, they're hastening the day you become a subservient citizen instead of a sovereign citizen of our free republic. The way to stop this is to say, stop taking my money.
It's another example of the two-faced Democrat politics. How can the American people help stop this bill now?
The American people can do two things. One, pay attention that the Democrats have broken just about every promise that they made. I don't remember any Democrat running against Republicans last time that promised to raise taxes on people. Do you? Do you remember them and the candidates saying, if I'm going to go to Congress, and one of the first things I'm going to do is take money out of your pocket and hand it to somebody else? So the American public has to hold people accountable for their promises, and that includes Republicans, too, who might be tempted to do this. And the second thing that they need to do is vote. If you think government takes too much of your money and should prioritize its spending to make government more efficient and more economical, then cast your vote on that basis. And then you will get the change that you demand and deserve, which is fiscal responsibility that stops taking your hard-earned money and stuffing it down a rat hole.
Thank you, Congressman, for taking the time to help sort this out for the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, as we're all aware, OBL has recently released a tape. The media says this has been Layden scolding his followers, and they've interpreted his perceived weakness as a victory for America. Unfortunately, this may not be the case. We've only heard a fraction of the total audio. It seems this is a message of defeat, but it may be the opposite. We've asked former CIA operative Michael Shore to help us decipher this new message from our enemies.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for having me again.
Now, this is very concerning, but quickly, could you tell our audience about your experience fighting the war against extremism?
I worked for the Central Intelligence Agency for almost 23 years. I worked most of my career against Islamic terrorism. The last 10 years, I worked against Osama bin Laden and was the first chief of the bin Laden unit.
Now, look, the liberal media would like us to think that this is a message of a setback from bin Laden, a message of defeat even.
Yeah, and that's certainly the way it appeared when it came out, because Al Jazeera television cuts the tapes that he gives them if there's anything in them that will offend the Saudis. And when we got the longer version of his speech, it was very clear that what he was saying in the message was, listen, we've won militarily in Iraq. The Americans are leaving. but now we have to get ready to rule, and so we have to unite. And so it's a very militant statement, but it's a very confident statement. It's not what it appeared to be when Al Jazeera released it. They released about a fifth of the whole statement, so there was very much more to it than what was actually put out.
Why is that? Why does Al Jazeera give us half the story?
Well, part of it is they're worried about offending us, offending the Americans. But the other part is a good proportion of it is devoted to attacking the Saudi royal family. And the Qataris are very beholden to the Saudis. The Saudis are the big kid on their block. And so they usually cut a lot of stuff out of bin Laden's statements if it's criticizing the Saudis. And that's what happened.
Okay, wait. So our media, the reaction our media has had to this audio has been such that this is a message filled with frustration and dissent within his ranks, and therefore it proves U.S. superiority and even progress in the situation. Is it a mistake to make that interpretation?
As many people as you talk to about this, you probably have very differing views. My view is that it's one of the best messages bin Laden has put out in the past 3 or 4 years, and it's a very confident message. It's not at all we're losing and we need to unite. What he's saying is we've won militarily. The Americans are going to go home sooner or later, and we have to unite to be able to govern the country. You know, for what it's worth, my view is that most of the media does have it wrong.
So you say this is not a declaration of weakness at all?
Absolutely. It's not at all a declaration of weakness. When you read the whole thing, what he's saying is, we've won. The Americans are leaving. But what we don't want to happen is what happened in Afghanistan after the Soviets left. And that was the insurgents couldn't unite and form a government. And so there was a civil war. What he's saying is the job is only half done.
Okay, so with the audio tape release, there was a surplus of stories promoting our effectiveness in the area of Baghdad, and Anbar reporting a 70% decrease in car bombs and attacks, and a decrease in violence. And that seems like a good thing, but what about the rest of Iraq?
Well, I wrote a little article this week in the Jamestown Foundation that said, we've succeeded in Baghdad and Anbar, but only as long as we're there. And I'm afraid what the media is doing is taking those two discrete instances and extrapolating them into covering the whole country. It's a little premature to claim that we've won there.
What about the politicians who made public statements proclaiming this audio tape as a message of retreat or surrender?
Well, just that, you know, it's a natural thing for an insurgent who's always fighting a more powerful enemy. If the enemy reinforces in a particular area, they either stand down or they withdraw until the increased forces go away. They're not people who stand and fight to the death. And I think that's the point to make, is we've sent our best troops to Anbar, for example. We've sent the Marines out there. They've been there for 18 months. If they didn't score major successes, it would be surprising. But it doesn't mean that they've won. It's not a statement of surrender at all. It's a statement of encouragement and instruction. And I think, you know, McCain, when he came out and said, this means we're winning, he's 180 degrees wrong.
Well, media outlets and the politicians are saying one thing when the message is something else, according to you. How can we keep ourselves better informed?
Well, one of the things I think that needs to be done by a lot of the media is to make sure that these statements are available for Americans to read. You know, right now we're in the position of, if you will, if we had decided to fight the Soviet Union without translating Marx or Lenin or Engels or Stalin for the American people to understand what kind of enemy we're facing. And for the most part, these texts of the messages are only available if you subscribe to a translation service.
What, and this PR agency Al Jazeera won't give us the full story?
No, in fact, they very seldom do that, which is one of the reasons. Initially, back in the late 90s, Al Jazeera was publishing whatever they received. But after a while, and especially when Al-Qaeda began to attack verbally the Saudi government, they started to cut these things up. So what Al-Qaeda does now is send the tape to Al Jazeera because it focuses the world's attention, and then it releases the full text of the statements on various websites around the world.
Why is Al Jazeera the only outlet this guy has?
Well, it's the major independent satellite television network in the Arab world. There's only the other one is called Al Arabiya, but it's controlled by the Saudis. So really, for Arabic language, 24-hour satellite television, Al Jazeera is about the only game in town. But since the you know proliferation of the internet, they can. It used to be that they got out what Al Jazeera would put out, Now they can put, they see what Al Jazeera puts out, and then they put out the full statement if it's been edited.
Well, who does this editing serve? If we're not getting the whole story and he's being censored, who does this editing serve?
Well, it serves the guttery government, because what they cut out is usually stuff that's about the Saudis.
I see. They want the Saudis to be happy.
And if they were publishing stuff that was condemnatory of the Saudis would raise a ruckus with them. So just to keep things amicable.
God forbid we anger the Saudis.
Yes. Really, the Saudis are, you know, in our situation, they're just about the masters and we're the slaves.
This is very infuriating, and I'm led to the last passage of Bin Laden's statement. I want to read it for our listeners so you can see what kind of a monster we're fighting. Quote, continue to make the soldiers of unbelief drink from the bitter cup of death. It's very clearly a militaristic statement. How can we ignore this belligerent rhetoric?
You know, I really think that a big problem that America has is we don't read what the enemy says. And you don't have to agree with what he says or sympathize with what he says, but you better understand what his convictions are or you're going to get beat. We're fighting somebody who we say is just a gangster and there's not very many of them and we can bring them to justice one man at a time, and they're beating us at two wars. There's something there that there's some kind of a disconnect there, I think.
Michael, why can't we find this guy? Why is he still alive?
I think the reason we can't find Osama bin Laden is very simple. We've tried to do Afghanistan on the cheap. We have less troops in Afghanistan than the Marines put onto Iwo Jima in February 1945, and Iwo Jima is a fly speck of an island. Afghanistan is bigger than Texas. And with those small number of troops, we've asked them to keep the Karzai government in power, defeat the Taliban insurgency, build a secular democracy, rebuild the economy and the transportation infrastructure, destroy Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda, and in the spare time that they have, to eradicate the world's largest heroin industry.
Oh, yeah, in their spare time.
Yeah.
My God, so our current approach, is it working? Can this come to a conclusion militarily?
Well, of course we can solve it militarily. The people who say we've tried the military option and failed are just being deceitful. There's no one that could stand the true full application of American military power. The real question is, why are our leaders, Democrat and Republican, afraid to use the military power that the American people have paid for? Are we going to be able to save the situation in Afghanistan? I suspect we're not, because it would take many more troops and much more killing, and our leaders want to be popular. They don't want to defend Americans.
You see, this is what I've been telling you. We need to tell those empty suits and skirts in Washington to find the guts and fight this war and stop pandering like it's a popularity contest. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us again, Mr. Scheuer.
Thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure.
Suddenly it's 1939, and the Gestapo is set up in all 50 states, and there are some Americans who are members of the German-American Bund saying that Hitler means us no harm. Then there are innocent pacifists who say that we should never go to war under any circumstance, that war is never the answer. And then there are the rest of us who know what's going on and how dark the days are and what's coming. And that's where I sit today. On the Savage Nation. We know there are Hezbollah terrorists on American soil. Is it rhetoric? No. Several of them have been busted and arrested. The Charlotte cell, for example, was broken in 04, and some of them were arrested. Some of them were found coming in from Mexico with Lebanese passports. The fact of the matter is, many of the Muslims in this country are innocent. Many of them want the same things that you want. And unfortunately, there are quite a few amongst them who do not want the same things you want. They may look like the average Joe, they may act like the average Joe, they may be on a soccer team, but they're here to do us harm. The government knows that, I know that, thousands of you know that, and it's only a matter of time until they are activated, or if they've not already been activated, to cause quiet harm. They will be activated to cause loud harm once the inevitable happens, which is the bombing of the Iranian nuclear facilities. There is no question that this country will bomb the Iranian nuclear facilities. It doesn't matter whether George Bush does it, and I hope he does it, or if the next president does it, whoever that may be, even if it's a Democrat. They all share the same intelligence. And after all of the hot air of the election is over, these are power-hungry people. They're power-mad people. They've gotten where they are by being ruthless, whether they're Democrat or Republican. And they're ultimately realists. And once the realist is presented with the evidence that the enemy has nukes or is about to have nukes or is about to set off nukes, there's no question in my mind that we will launch an aerial campaign against Iran. I only wish it sooner rather than later, because if it's done sooner, there will be fewer repercussions here in America than there will be later. And, of course, we're all sitting here waiting. The problem is that our intelligence agencies, our police agencies, are functioning with one hand behind their back because the enemy within, the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, all liberal lawyers in these intelligence agencies are fighting them. They're fighting for the other team. They're literally on the side of the enemy. And only a purge of our intelligence agencies by a man as daring as J. Edgar Hoover can save this country. The bloodshed that's coming. That's really the dark view, the dark vision that I have. And I thought that I would share it with you. Now, I realize that maybe you want to hear, you know, something different or something else. Diplomacy has been tried with Iran, but you cannot negotiate with a fanatic. There is no question in my mind that we are going to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. It's only a matter of when, not if. And the Hezbollah terrorists are already on in American soil. Some of them have been arrested and busted. Most of them have not been arrested and busted. They are here. They are here. Hezbollah has infiltrated this country, and the extent of the infiltration is probably known by several parties in the United States military, and I don't know, in the United States military and government apparatus, I don't know how far it really goes. But you do know that before September 11, 2001, a terrorist group by the name of Hezbollah, the Party of God, so-called, it's really the Party of Hell, had killed more Americans than any other. For example, in 1983, Hezbollah truck bombed the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut and killed 241 soldiers. They murdered them in their sleep. They murdered Americans at the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon, the Khobar Towers, the U.S. military housing complex in Saudi Arabia. They held organizational meetings with top members of Al-Qaeda, including Osama bin Laden. They established sleeper cells in the United States and Canada. Right now, Hezbollah remains more dangerous than even Al-Qaeda, yet little is known about them to the average American. What they're interested in is the latest gossip out of Hollywood, or why go down the litany? And it's a waste of my time to repeat all of the rest of that particular paragraph, which I can do only too well. The fact of the matter is, Hezbollah has infiltrated this country. They intend to do us harm, and they will do us harm. And only by taking out the head of the octopus, Iran, can you cut off the tentacles and see them wither on the vine. I know this. You know this. Many of you know this, yet you're powerless because you pick up your local paper and you read the news for dunces. You read the news for dummies. That's all you read day in and day out. Day out, day in. Lesbian and gay, gay and lesbian. Lesbian and gay, gay and lesbian. Lesbian oppressed, gay oppressed. You know that last week, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the phony, passed a law in California that outlawed mom and dad being taught in a classroom. I spoke to the chairman of a religious school over the weekend who said to me, Michael, do you know what Arnold Schwarzenegger did? I said, yes, I very well know. He said, well, why are we not reading in the books that if a lesbian teacher says that she feels that she was insulted in a religious school because the children are being taught that a mother and father are superior to a lesbian or gay couple, that the school can be sued. He said, why are we not reading it in the San Francisco Chronicle? Why am I not reading it in the New York Times? Why am I not reading that in the LA Times? Why am I not seeing it on Fox or CNN? And I said to this religious leader of the religious school, because they agree with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They are them. Don't you understand that the media is run by the very same people that Arnold Schwarzenegger just protected? He has literally imprisoned all of the Christian schools and all of the Jewish schools in this country. He has now forced them to teach what they believe to be the wrong things to teach their children. And Schwarzenegger got away with it. He did it under the cover of smoke and fire. Now let's go on to the callers. Gino in Providence and WPRO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I just want you to know that you've been an absolute instrument in my life, and you've given me the knowledge and the tools to really tell people what really is the truth about what's going on in this country. In my state, my governor, he really needs prayer from people. He's thrown down a legislation piece that was a gay couple trying to get divorced from Massachusetts. He's come out and said that illegal immigrants are not welcome in this state. He's fighting for illegal interpreters to be thrown out of the state government. And I completely agree with your caller earlier that it all starts at home, and I'm starting in my state. I fight it every single day. I listen to you every day, and I let people know what the
Gino, let me tell you, it's one man at a time. If you can start spreading the word in your neighborhood, and each man you talk to spreads the word in his neighborhood, it will go up to the governors. They're getting the message. These governors are getting the message. They understand that people are ready to explode in this country.
And you know what? That's what's great. And you know what? My state is filled with scum, idiot, Democrat, liberal,
All right. I don't need the exact details. It's a national show. We understand the battle we're fighting. We understand that the liberal machine is so powerful that it's almost impossible to overcome. And I thank you very much for that call. KNEW, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation from San Francisco. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to quickly disagree with you on your assessment of Ahmadinejad's lunacy. Just three quick points. I don't think, and I speak from experience in Iraq, that Iran would ever be subdued by only bombs. What these people respect is power, bayonets at their throats, boots on their faces. It will only...
Well, let's pause right there. We do not have the military to invade Iran, so that's off the table. What we have is the Navy and the Air Force to do it. We have cruise missiles that could knock Hitler off his soapbox in 1 second. He could be gone tomorrow. The next time Hitler gives a speech with his henchmen, he could be gone. Well, we don't have the government to do it. We have the power with no guts.
And bombing alone will never achieve the ends that we need, which is an end to the tyranny. And
wrong. You're 100% wrong. You're 100% wrong. You could take out the leadership easily. Easily. He came to this country and crapped on us, and we did nothing.
The point is that...
You're just wrong. You take out the chief and the Indians don't know what to do. You take out the chief and there's no money being sent to the Indians who would do us harm. And if he's not enough of a chief, take out the next chief. The troops are fighting with one hand behind their back. The police are investigating with one hand behind their back. The FBI is investigating their manual on what they can do or not do. The CIA is investigating the manual on what they can do and not do. And the liberal lawyers are running the country over the cliff. I told you, we have to purge the CIA and the FBI and the police agencies of the liberal lawyers who have been planted there and have metastasized into the AIDS virus.
Savage.